This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump will be visiting with Senate Republicans at their weekly luncheon at the Capitol today, and topping the agenda, of course, the ongoing push for a border wall and increased border security. The president expected to also host another meeting about the situation later today with congressional leaders from both parties. Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez says, from his point of view, Democrats are on the same page with Republicans when it comes to border security.
Democrats believe in meaningful border security, and I'm proud of the work I did under Barack Obama to make sure that we were securing our borders.
Democrats, though, not willing to give $5 billion for a border wall. A second suspect's been charged in the killing of a Houston 7-year-old, as Larry Woodruff is now accused of capital murder for the December 30th shooting death of Jasmine Barnes. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
The deadline to report property damage caused by the Woolsey fire in Southern California has now been extended. FEMA and the U.S. Small Business Administration saying residents and business owners have until January 31st to apply for aid. The deadline was originally this Friday. They're mourning the death of an Arizona police officer who was killed while conducting a traffic stop near Scottsdale last evening. Salt River Police Chief Carl Auerbach says,
this evening, tragically, Officer Clayton Townsend with the Salt River Police Department, who had proudly served for the last 5 years, was on a traffic stop and was struck and killed by a passing motorist.
And an Indiana police officer is hospitalized after she was accidentally shot by another officer yesterday when a dog attacked her and two others at an apartment building as they were searching for a suspect. The other cop tried to shoot the dog. And this is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Well, the chairman of Sears is again watching the clock, hoping to keep the company open as Eddie Lampert has another chance to save the retailer from liquidation. As long as his hedge fund deposits $120 million by this afternoon in its bid to escape from bankruptcy, the deal could keep 425 Sears stores open and about 50,000 workers employed. The iconic retailer planning to hold a court-supervised auction next Monday. That will determine whether the remainder of the chain will be left under Lampert's control or will be liquidated. Authorities are investigating suspicious packages found at some foreign consulates and embassies in Australia. Fire officials in Melbourne say consulates of the UK, the US, Switzerland, and Pakistan were among those that had to be evacuated hours ago. Emergency workers also called to consulates belonging to India, Greece, South Korea, New Zealand, Spain, France, and Italy. Yeah, South Carolina does not have a consulate in Australia. But in any case, some of the packages reportedly contained what appeared to be simple concrete, and there is no immediate report of any injury. Police say the incidents are believed to have been targeted and were not impacting the general community. And Barbie's coming to the silver screen as Mattel's announced a partnership with Warner Brother Pictures to develop a live-action film. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way we roll. It's what it's all about here. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your day with us here at the intersection of faith and politics. I am Bill Martinez, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. So what are your thoughts after, you know, all the pundits, I guess, just about have spoken? Maybe your opportunity to see the president live for about 10 minutes laying out the case for border security. You know, I thought it was quite interesting that when the Democrats had the opportunity to hear someone who is on the front lines, whose very job it is to observe and report back to the legislators. I'm talking about Kirstjen Nielsen. Excuse me. That they didn't want to hear it. You know, and Nancy Pelosi says, "Well, I just don't believe your facts." Well, the facts are the facts. I mean, you know, you may not want to believe them, but how do you resist the truth? Well, I guess if you want to continue to be untenable and not be open for reason and conversation about true solutions so that we can get our country back on track, I guess you just resist any kind of information and factual evidence that is taking place. Even the pundits, I thought it was quite noteworthy. I was just going through CNN's response and how they, you know, were fact-checking, you know, because that was the big thing. Because, and of course, the lead-up by all the Democrats was that the president, you know, be careful. You know, this ought to come with a warning. The president's going to be lying to you, so be on the lookout for that. There's going to be a little veritas in what he has to share, and he's going to over-conflate and exaggerate and just flat-out lie to the American people. Really? Wow. That's pretty nuts. And, you know, so... That's what they have found themselves. Real quick note to the studio, Doherty is calling in on another line, so maybe you can try and get him on his cell phone, I guess, okay? We're standing by for Michael Doherty. That's what this is all about. We've got a couple things to talk about, including 9/11 and, of course, what happened with $452 billion that suddenly vanished with Apple. And, you know, what does this portend? Is there ominous news for China in all this? So we'll talk about that in a moment. But just to kind of put a little bit of bow around this whole deal is that it's, you know, when it comes to negotiating, you have to at least have some common interest here. And, you know, the Democrats say they do share a common interest. They tell you this verbally, but it's kind of like what Billy Graham used to say. So you can always tell when a politician is lying to you, and that's when their lips are moving. You know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will say they're interested in border security. In the past, they're on record saying, hey, the very things that they're rejecting right now, the very things that they supported. So, you know, what's going on here? So, what really comes to play here is that they're just flat out lying to us. I mean, they're talking about the president lying. I mean, they're flat out lying, because if they're interested in coming to a solution and getting this country back to work and hundreds of thousands of public employees that are sitting on the sidelines, of course, they will be paid. There's no doubt that they will be paid, because that's what happens with every shutdown. But meanwhile, you know, the insecurity of it all, you can only imagine what some of these families are going through, running the entire spectrum of, you know, some people, like many of us, living from, you know, paycheck to paycheck. You know, what must they be experiencing themselves? And, you know, they've got mortgage payments. And, you know, as Marco Rubio mentioned, you know, could this possibly compromise you know, their credit and real life issues here. But we're dealing with real life issues right now. For decades, this whole issue of border security has been kicked down the road, and it is the American people that have been held hostage by the lack of intestinal fortitude of the legislators to do something about this broken immigration system. I'm sick and tired of hearing from them, oh, the immigration system is broken. Well, tell us something we don't know. Like, maybe if we just go back and, you know, like any business, what happens is when things go wrong and they're awry, a good CEO will say, hey, let's go back historically and look when we were doing it right. When was immigration working for our country? See, the Democrats don't even want to go back because everything, you know, go back, you know, that's anti-progressive, you know, if we go back, you know, God forbid that we go back and figure out where we made the wrong turn. I mean, we had this conversation with Bruce Thatcher from History Speaks, and Bruce is an immigration expert, I will tell you. And we had this conversation with him. So why can't we just go back and say, when were we doing this right? What policies came into play that messed up this whole system and that has us where we are right now, where we've got migrants storming our borders, and then we're blamed for not being hospitable. We're told that a border wall is immoral. So I guess the Vatican is immoral, because they, you know, last time I checked, they have a wall around the Vatican, and how many other places? You know, they say border walls don't work. Well, in my conversation with Danny Garza in Israel, he is Israel's map maker and was responsible for setting up border walls for protection of the people there. And he will tell you, along with Bibi Netanyahu, borders work 95% of the time. Can you believe that? So these are, I mean, there's empirical evidence that stands in the face of these false accusations, and I more than accusations, I mean, it's just false evidence. I mean, it's a flat out lie for the Democrats, but they are so, you know, they're so anti-Trump, you know, this is really sad, you know, for the sake, we don't want Trump to get a victory. It's not Trump's victory, it's the people's victory. And we got American citizens who are dying out there. We've got women, you talk about immoral, we've got women coming into this country that are being used as sex slaves. You know, and it's endless. And then we've got people operating in this country in the shadows. I mean, they're not even legitimate. They gotta operate in the shadows. So when they're in trouble, can they go to police and say, hey, I need help here? I mean, this is part of the idea in California, I believe, why they think that they need to be a sanctuary city so that people can be comfortable to go to the local police and, you know, get some justice. And not be afraid, because they're illegal, that they have to kowtow to, you know, their local authority, you know, much like the mafia did. And that's what we've done. We've promoted little mini mafia institutions around our country through this whole process. See, this is what breaking the law, what it compounds here. And the people that are being injured are we the people. I mean, this is lose-lose all the way around. You know, we are a nation of immigrants. We want immigrants to come in here legally so they can come in with their health heads held high and have a fair shot at realizing the American dream, not only for themselves, but for their kids and their grandkids. Much the same way, you know, my parents did, my grandparents. You know, we didn't have to apologize. We didn't have to hold our heads down. It was like, hey, you got a fair shot at it. Go work hard. Go be honest. Do best for this country. Serve the country. Serve others. And look what happens. And, you know, these are American stories time and again that cannot take place. I am convinced they cannot take place in any other country. This is why we continue to be that shining light on a hill for so many others. And you have what, according to Gallup, 100, maybe near 170 million people say, yeah, hey, I'd love to be an American. I'd love to be able to come to America. But it's like, okay, that's not good enough. Not only do you want to come to America, but you want to be an American citizen and be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
If you talk your name, we'll hear you.
Oh, no.
Every single time.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
A pretty night, I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify.
Hey, what more could we want? Maybe a government that works, that doesn't have to shut down, that can be about the people's business. Just for starters, I would say. This is Bill Martinez at 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and we do have Michael Dougherty with us, cyber and big tech analyst, CEO of the Cyber Education Foundation, founder of the Justice Society. Happy New Year, Michael. Good to be talking to you.
Happy New Year, sir. I apologize for the fine technical mistake.
Well, every once in a while, you know, phones, they get a knot in the cord, and they just become impossible to deal with. But, hey, we're used to that.
I don't know. Anyway, not like a reboot.
Yeah, that's okay. Not to worry. But a lot of things quickly to cover here. First of all, let's talk about the loss of, you know, billions of dollars, you know, by Apple. Just like that, $452 billion vanished. I mean, is this, you know, ominous news for China?
Chump change, sorry to tell you, because, look, these guys have so much value and so much market presence, and they could have gotten ahead of themselves. I do think, which I actually don't think the political establishment will allow this to happen. We can't even get them to protect our physical borders, let alone our technological borders. Mm-hmm. So I'd actually be thrilled if there was a huge reining in of the power. But we have to understand this has happened so fast. And Americans are very comfortable people, and we don't like to embrace bad news that much, evidently. A lot of people here want to pretend everything's fine and dandy, but we've got tech companies that are bigger than economies. Mm-hmm. And these tech companies are not little local shops. They're not just American shops. They're international shops. And they have obligations all over. So they might scream and yell and support the left here. And then when they're in China or Russia, they're participating in compromising civil rights so that they can have market share.
Well, of course.
So all under the guise of being responsible to your shareholders. So the hypocrisy is of no shortage. They've got tons of money still. They have tons of power. They have a network built. This, I think, is a market correction. And I don't think the correction's ever going to really happen until the American public saves itself, because our political class certainly won't.
Well, Michael, and what you point out clearly, and I hope people are connecting the dots here, this is the push for globalism. I mean, because when you have these tech giants doing the kind of business and having the influence they have, of course, it is to their benefit for us to become globally centric as opposed to nationalistic.
And that's just another marketing term to fool the ignorant, because there is no global center. That doesn't exist. It makes it so big and cumbersome. It allows the power mongers, the despots, the greedy people to control everything and circle and confuse. You just want to keep the masses complacent, circled, confused, comfy, unless you really want to have Venezuela. And then you keep the cake really small, and you keep a real take a piece of frosting for yourself.
Yeah,
that's what's going on with globalism.
As long as you don't take away their iPhones.
That's right. Just keep them occupied, keep them happy, keep life wonderful. But how dare you be ambitious? How dare you be independent? How dare you have independent thought? You know, the brainwashing's gotten pretty far along here for 50, 60 years. And there's also so much politics and survival. All you have to do is scare people with doubt into survival with their job. So you have large corporations like Apple, you know, like Facebook. I mean, the things Facebook does, there's just an article yesterday about the whole culture of Facebook. It's such a real immersed, marinated mind game there. It's almost a training ground for socialism.
Well, of course it is. I mean, Michael, birds of a feather flock together, and you've got Zuckerberg coming, you know, to the Hill saying, oh, no, we're really open, you know, to ideas, and we have a cross-section, but yet, you know, shortly thereafter, there was an employee who said, look, he brought it to their attention, sat on it, I mean, you know, kind of tried to work through it for 6 months and realized it's the wrong gospel, wrong church. They're not going to change. I mean, they are very well fixed into their ideology, and it is what it is. But the danger part of this is that this is who's controlling that medium right now that most of the people are engaged with.
Yeah, we've gotten hoodwinked. I mean, by clicking that little box and using contract law, that we click that box, we give up all our rights. We've given up a whole lot of rights, and we have Congress that was built a century ago, not a term ago, not a decade ago, a century ago, to be impotent. Mm-hmm. And these guys, all they care about is not getting blamed. People in Congress don't care about protecting the public. They care about protecting their jobs and not getting blamed. And so that's why you see so much theater, no cake, and you see no one doing anything about this. They'll ruin health care because they know how to politicize it and fool you, because you're never really sick that often until it's too late. And when you figure it out, you don't have much life left.
That's right.
Technology, they don't know how to swing this so they don't get blamed for it. So what's the next best choice? Don't touch it. And we have this fiasco, and we're allowing these outside powers to grow and grow and grow. And they're all over the place.
As long as they keep those big checks going into the coffers of their election committees, I mean, all is well, right?
Well, that's right, because that's all that matters. It's survival, and it's diffuse who's responsible. Mm-hmm. No one is responsible. It's always someone else that's responsible. And if you stand up, you'll get your head removed. Pelosi will come at you with the machete, and you're gone.
Exactly.
You know, and so this is, and you know that law of survival. So you pick your battles very selectively. And in tech, the tools are wonderful. The weaponization of the tools is the problem.
Right.
And the fact that we've given backbones of communications of our society to a private company is a real problem. And it's happened so fast, we don't know what's hit us.
Exactly. I want to talk 9/11. You write that hackers threatened to reveal secret data about 9/11. You know, this is one of many things yet to be exposed here. In this particular case, these hackers, they've got data related to September 11th attacks in the U.S., and they say, send us Bitcoin and we're going to release.
Right. And so my point on this, which I actually think I probably should have made more clear, is that this is another example of fear, uncertainty, and doubt on people that don't really know. Really, if you're 25 years old or younger, you really don't have a lot of direct 9/11 experience. You either weren't alive or you were a small kid. And so, and then there's all these Rosie O'Donnell fear mongers that love conspiracy theories. So it turns into theater. It turns into magical thinking. And so you have hackers taking advantage of your ignorance, of your naivete, and they're just driving up their price with woulda, coulda, shoulda. Ooh, there could be something really here. And they just want someone to pay big. Who are they intimidating? And when you see the media, who is willing to spin anything in any way, shape, or form with a complete agenda and bias to attack whoever they don't like in office, or the flip side, ignore all sorts of corruption because they like who's in office.
Exactly.
You get away with this type of extortion. And again, this is the weaponization of technology based off the backs of the ignorance of the populace. They want us dumb folks. And I'm not talking, you have to be a conspiracy theorist. This is not, you just have to understand what we're supposed to be founded on and how we're being taken advantage of. That's
right.
What you have to understand.
Well, this hacker group must know that they've got a hold of a nerve here. So methinks there could be some guilt and veritas behind some of these secrets that they want to reveal. I know that puts a tinfoil hat on your head, but look at the reaction. You know, like they say, follow the money.
Well, let's see who writes the checks and let's see what the information is. And here's how they do it. The people that have the conspiracy theory will allow leapfrogging and thinking, you know, conclusions to be made about something over on, you know, I don't know, at 10 o'clock when really it's about 4 o'clock. Because I'm sure there are all sorts of, relationships between Saudi and the United States and major corporations and all sorts of things that no one wants to deal with or have out in the public. Very similar to this, you know, this journalist being murdered in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
No one wants to understand the crosshairs and how the tentacles of the world's global leaders cross so much that it seems like you're in bed with your enemies. When Obama sent how many millions over to Iran?
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite embarrassing stuff for people for their own personal survival or their professional survival. Don't let that be used for people to think that Rosie O'Donnell's correct.
God forbid, right? Oh, Lordy. Well, it's another new year, and we're happy to be here. Michael Dougherty, CEO of the Cyber Education Foundation, founder of the Justice Society. Thank you, Michael.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump will be visiting with Senate Republicans at their weekly luncheon at the Capitol today, and topping the agenda, of course, the ongoing push for a border wall and increased border security. The president expected to also host another meeting about the situation later today with congressional leaders from both parties. Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez says, from his point of view, Democrats are on the same page with Republicans when it comes to border security.
Democrats believe in meaningful border security, and I'm proud of the work I did under Barack Obama to make sure that we were securing our borders.
Democrats, though, not willing to give $5 billion for a border wall. A second suspect's been charged in the killing of a Houston 7-year-old, as Larry Woodruff is now accused of capital murder for the December 30th shooting death of Jasmine Barnes. And this is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you are accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez Live.
As fresh and independent as we continue to pursue the truth, because we know you can handle it, okay? 28 minutes before the top of the hour, history guy is joining us now, Lance Geiger, who is known by many on YouTube as the history guy. He's been a park ranger, a debate coach, a collegiate professor, a cog in the wheels of various corporate machines, as he says. And in 2017, he decided, hey, look, it, I'm going to be Mary Tyler Moore. I'm throwing my hat in the air. I'm going to spin around, and let's pursue my passion for history. And he is now known for making well-researched YouTube videos telling stories of forgotten history, 10 to 15 minutes at a time. Lance, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, good to have you here. I want to talk about one of the videos that you've done that focuses on the defense, 1941 defense of Wake Island. Give us some little background, you know, why Wake Island was so critical, you know, leading into World War II.
Yeah, Wake Island is a tiny little atoll, and it's a long way out in the ocean. It's actually about 300 miles closer to Tokyo than it was to Honolulu. So we had, in the 30s, signed naval treaties with Japan that was intended to prevent war, where we weren't supposed to fortify anything that we had in the Pacific. But by 1940, it was pretty clear that Japan was no longer adhering to those treaties, and we decided to fortify. And at that point, Wake was the closest that we had, straddling Japanese supply lines. So it was going to be the first attack if a war was going to come, and we knew it would be way out there, a point that if we could defend it would make a difference. So they started building fortifications around January of 1941, and then, of course, were attacked on the same day as Pearl Harbor.
Right. Well, so there at Wake Island, you know, this is being fortified with the help of a small contingent of Marines and sailors and soldiers and civilians that you say are of, you know, exceptional noteworthiness.
Absolutely, yeah. It was there were about 1,100 civilians that were there to build a naval air station. They were building a runway. And there was also a Pan-American, one of the Clipper routes went through Wake Island. So there was a hotel there, and there were some Pan-American civilians that worked for Pan Am there. And then a half a battalion, a little bit less than a half a battalion of a Marine Defense Battalion that was really sent with the idea that, you know, Wake might meet some raids that they would have to beat off, and was not sent with the idea that they might have to face a full-scale invasion.
And of course they did.
Yes. Undermanned and under-equipped. They had 12 fighters that those actually arrived on Wake Island on December 4th, and the attack came on December 8th. Or they had 12 off of that squadron. Very quickly, that was taken down to 4, but they put up a valiant defense as well.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened after that to Wake Island? FDR said, wait a minute, we better really fortify the installation there, right?
Yes, but I mean, they really didn't anticipate how quickly the Japanese attack would come. So they were, at the time, they were prioritizing building the airfield over improving the island's defenses. Mm-hmm. And had they known the attack was going to come as quickly as it could, they might have made that decision a little bit differently. So when the attack came, you know, they started hearing it over the radio from Pearl Harbor. And that was December 8th, but it was actually the same day. Wake is across the date line. So it was December 7th, and Pearl Harbor is December 8th in Wake Island. And within hours, they were being attacked by Japanese bombers. They weren't prepared radar, so they couldn't determine when the attack was coming. They did put four of their fighters in the air to look for Japanese because they knew that there could be an air attack, but because of the cloud cover, they didn't see them. So in the first attack, it was really devastating. They destroyed most of their Wildcat fighters and destroyed most of their, you know, they simply hadn't been prepared yet, the fortified bunkers or anything for the planes. Started out looking pretty desperate for them.
Because of Pearl Harbor, I'm sure that's why Wake Island has been overlooked and underreported, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it certainly got press at the time because we were just looking for news after Pearl Harbor. But the reason, from, you know, the point of people who study history, that Wake is ignored is just because, you know, we had so many other things going on. The attacks going on in the Philippines and throughout Southeast Asia, and we were still reeling from Pearl Harbor. So, you know, Wake barely makes a blip in all of that, although it was really, I mean, this was the first evidence that the Japanese were not invincible and that Americans could really put up a fight. And so it was an extraordinary story. It was just kind of lost at the time and a little lost since.
Yeah. Expand on that a little bit more, if you would, in terms of the exposure of Japan's vulnerability.
Well, after Pearl Harbor, it seemed like nothing could defeat Japan. Mm-hmm. But on Wake Island, on December 11th, the Japanese tried to invade. And the Marines beat them with their shore batteries. And that was the only time in the Second World War that an amphibious invasion was beaten off by shore bombardment. That was the first surface ships of the Japanese Navy that were sunk. It was the first defeat for the Japanese Navy. And that December 11th attack was really rather spectacular because the Japanese essentially thought that their bombing had destroyed all of Wake's heavy weapons. And when they tried to come in, they weren't very careful about it. They were careless. They didn't use an aerial bombardment. They only did a very small naval bombardment. They didn't try any diversionary attacks or anything like that. And then the Marines just surprised them with fire from their 5-inch guns, which actually were, they'd been taken from the battleship Texas in a refit. So these were guns that had been aboard a battleship, and now the Marines had them. And they destroyed two Japanese destroyers, and killed somewhere on the order of 900 Japanese soldiers were trying to invade at the time. And that was the first time that we really proved, you know, we can fight and that the Japanese aren't invulnerable. And that was important to America at the time.
Well, you imagine what that did to morale. I mean, on the heels of in the devastation that occurred at Pearl, you have these brave men there on Wake Island, you know, fighting and, you know, defending our, you know, our land there in Wake Island and, you know, our interest. And, you know, so this had to be a resounding bit of positive news and to, you know, invigorate, you know, Americans.
Absolutely, yeah. It was very important to morale on both sides. It was also important for the Japanese to realize that they weren't necessarily invulnerable. They had to end up bringing in quite a substantially larger force. They tried to take down a fairly small force of Marines. Mm-hmm. I think it probably heartened the defenders in the Philippines quite a lot. Right. And it was just a nation hungry for good news. It was good news. It actually led to one of the myths of the battle, and that is that the news had reported that when asked what supplies they need, that the commander of the island is the Japs. And that didn't really occur. It was actually kind of a misinterpretation of how they used the naval codes. But, I mean, that, you know, the Americans thought these guys were just going to stand up for whatever.
Right.
And that really helped us think that we could actually, you know, continue to fight this war, even though it started out with us, you know, caught behind the eight ball.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, this effort was all-encompassing. As you say, you not only had military men there, but you also had, you know, civilian mechanical engineers that were instrumental in keeping U.S. planes in operation there at Wake.
Yeah, absolutely. That first attack on December 8th had killed much of the ground crew and destroyed most of the facilities around the Marine fighters. And it was a couple of mechanics that were with the civilians who were to build the airstrip that really played a critical role in the air. And that little, they called the Wake Island Air Force, did an extraordinary job with just a few planes that were, and Wildcat was really kind of an outdated plane. It was really in many ways outclassed by some of the Japanese planes of the era. And they just put up a brilliant defense, and that was partly because of civilians. But they also, they did everything from, say, moving munitions and helping communications to some actually volunteered to go into fighting the civilians. So it was amazing how they stood up for it. And that they would to evacuate the civilians, that didn't end up being possible. But those they were Navy contractors that built an airstrip. Really, they are heroes. They did everything to add to the defense of Wake Island.
Well, he is the history guy. Lance Geiger is with us, and our conversation will continue. We come back, we're going to talk about that destroyer that was hit by two bullseyes in its magazine, exploded and sank, and all hands were lost. So more from Lance after the break. I am Bill Martinez, just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Ask yourself, what do you pay for health care? Are you single? Do you pay more than $199 a month? Are you a couple? Do you pay more than $249 a month? Do you have a family? Do you pay more than $529 a month? Yes, you can serve the entire family with health care for only $529 a month. Sign up at any time of the year, pick your own doctor and hospital, ask any questions in our live chat box. It takes 2 minutes to find out how to save. Go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Here at Bill Martinez Live, we're excited to share the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting BillMartinezLive.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products simply help your body perform and look better. Like millions of others, I know you'll feel the difference. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the details. Start to live, feel, and be young again.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I believe you are the way, the truth, and the light. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the light.
Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Lance Geiger, the history guy, is with us. We're talking about the importance of Wake Island in World War II and, you know, some of the unknown victories that took place there, and also the stories, including what we talked about right before we went to break. We touched on it, and that is this destroyer that was hit by two bullseyes in its magazine exploded and sank, and all hands were lost. You know, when I read that, Lance, I immediately think of the Arizona there, along with the other ships that lie there on hallowed ground of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, and it was good to get some payback. That was the first. That was the Hiate, and the defenders very wisely held their fire coming in. The Japanese thought that apparently that all the heavy weapons had been destroyed. So they must have been quite surprised when suddenly two rounds fired. They struck the magazine. The auto just exploded. Loss of almost one crew member survived. It was just that threw the entire invasion on the 11th into chaos. That was the first Japanese surface ship sunk during the war. And I imagine that the men firing those guns were happy to get some payback after what had happened to Arizona.
Right. And you also talk about one of the Wildcats bombs hitting the depth charge magazine of the destroyer. Is it Kisaragi or Kisaragi?
The Kisaragi, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was in the same attack there. And that pilot, his name was Cameron Hank Elrod.
Hammering Hank.
And he went by Hammer and Hank. And he was a very dogged pilot. He followed the way through. When the planes were finally all disabled, he picked up a gun and fought as an infantryman. He died protecting civilian ammunition carriers in the invasion on the 23rd, and he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions at Wake. But he managed to just take down and drop a couple of bombs straight into the destroyer's depth charge racks, and another one exploded. All hands lost. And that was the first time in history that a plane sunk a surface warship with small caliber bombs from a fighter aircraft. It was the proof that a fighter aircraft could actually destroy a large surface ship. And so you can imagine, you know, thinking essentially that the defenders were demoralized and the guns were destroyed, with, you know, how the Japanese reacted when all of a sudden their ships are exploding. And that was, I mean, that was an extraordinary event when they beat off that defense on the 11th, caused significant damage also to other warships, quite a few airplanes. And there were also significant, because the troops were, of course, on transports, and those were shot up as well. So that really stunned the Japanese. And eventually they brought in two of the aircraft carriers that had attacked Pearl Harbor for a much larger invasion that came on December 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Well, but in this particular conflict, after these losses, the Japanese had no choice but to tuck tail and retreat, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they continued bombing. They were from the 8th to the 23rd. There were only 2 days that they didn't have bombing, which was because of weather. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they turned their tail. And of course, that didn't happen earlier in the war, you know, when they were rolling through Southeast Asia. And so it was really proof that, you know, they were vulnerable, and it really stunned the admiral in charge, and they had to bring a much larger force over, you know, a very small Marine force. So that was, again, great for American morale, but it also just shows that how dogged this defense was on Wake Island. These men stood tall in the fire.
Well, and here it is. The Japanese say, "Hey, you're not going to do this to us, and we're sending in reinforcements." And so, tell us about that second attack that took place on the 23rd.
Yeah, and the sad part about the second attack is that the Navy sort of relief force, and that had been delayed because of fueling problems with the carrier USS Saratoga. Mm-hmm. So, if that relief force had gotten there, say, 2 days earlier, then the Japanese would have been facing a much reinforced garrison, and also the civilians would have been evacuated. But it turns out that the relief force, when they were getting towards the area, when they knew that there were two Japanese carriers involved, the Navy didn't want to risk capital ships who were just spread too thin, and so the relief force had been turned back. But still, I mean, wildly outnumbered, with the Air Force, by that their airplanes were by that time out of commission, having been bombed for almost a month, they put up a very good defense on the Japanese invasion. Came in the middle of the night, destroyed two more destroyers, brought to troops in, and those were so shot up on the beach, those were destroyed. And they were putting a very stout defense when the Commander Cunningham, the naval officer in charge of the island, decided finally to surrender.
Well, and as you say, I mean, I want to go back just a moment here and rewind and revisit that idea. I mean, we've got, you know, reinforcements coming to Wake, and we already knew that our forces were anemic and we're still recovering from Pearl. And, you know, it's you figure, okay, how much are you willing to risk here? If we lose these ships, then what is this going to do to the, you know, our cause in the Pacific?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to try to rethink that decision not to reinforce Wake or not to get there. And the pilots on the Saratoga were apparently very upset that they weren't given a chance because they were close enough to be able to make attacks. But you have to understand the Navy's position at the time, that we only had a few capital ships in the Pacific, and they just couldn't risk them. So, but the Marines, up till the very last, were sure that reinforcements were coming. They'd actually been given a notice on the 22nd to get their civilians ready for evacuation on the 24th. And the attack came the day before that. So they were surprised when they were given that order to surrender, but Cunningham knew that they did not, that the relief force was not going to get there, and that you know, they were at that point stranded. But it's hard historically to second guess the Navy's choice there, because those capital ships were just so critical to, you know, a very thin line of defense.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're telling Marines to lay down their arms. That's so counterintuitive.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Marines don't do well with stuff like that, being a former Marine myself.
Yeah, they were aghast. They said Marines don't surrender. But you have to understand, too, that Cunningham was also yet 1,000 civilians whose lives that he was concerned about, and he didn't want to needlessly waste life. But, yeah, it's quite clear that the Marines didn't want to. They really had to get very specific orders in order for them to give up. And the other thing is that the communication had all been disrupted. The lines had been cut. So at the point that Devereaux, Major Devereaux, was in charge of the Marines and Commander Cunningham was in charge of the island, at the point that they made that decision to surrender, the island was actually in much better shape than they realized. They just weren't able to communicate with those troops. So they thought a whole half the island had been overrun. Well, it turned out that that half the island was actually doing quite well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have to think, even if they'd managed to beat back the attack on the 23rd, fight back the, you know, three times their number that had come ashore, then Japanese could just come, you know, say it was five times their number. So the Marines didn't want to give up, fought doggedly to the really, you know, at that point, there was nothing to gain from war fighting.
Exactly. Well, after all was said and done, you've got about 100 civilians that were kept at Wake Island as slave labor, right?
Yeah, most of the POWs were eventually moved to China. And actually, there's an interesting story there because a couple of them escaped. They were the only people to successfully escape and make it back to allies in China. But about 100 civilians were kept on the island to continue working on the airstrip. And they were there until 1943, and the U.S. was moving back through the Pacific. There were a couple of air raids on Wake. The commander decided they were going to be invaded, and so he ordered that those civilians be killed, and they were stood up in a line of machine gun.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this
tragedy, the ones that stayed were all of them died.
Yeah.
Most of those that were moved to China, most of them ended up surviving the war.
Yeah, but those that stayed, 98 civilians were executed there. Of course, the admiral was later tried for war crimes and hanged, right?
Yeah, and he was hanged, certainly a war crime. One of them seemed to have survived the when they lined them up and shot them, and he carved into a stone a memorial to those men so that people would remember it. And then he was apparently found, and the admiral himself, Sakiabura, killed him with his samurai sword.
Mm-hmm.
That memorial is still there, that rock that a civilian carved into that rock that was going on. It was tragic, it was pointless, and it was definitely a war crime.
Mm-hmm. You say the heroic Wake Island defense was solace for the American home front, as we touched on earlier. Expand on that a little bit. We've got a couple of minutes left here.
Yeah, I think still today, just they called it the Alamo of the Pacific. And of course, the radio was calling them that before they fell, so some of the Marines didn't like that because they were from Texas and they knew what happened at the Alamo.
Exactly.
But I mean, just, you know, the fact that they just stood tall and defended against extraordinary odds because they knew that they were defending the American homeland, and that even though it was a futile defense, that every day that they held was proof of what the nation could do. I mean, that still fills me with pride. I mean, they were extraordinary people that were fighting on Wake Island. And at a time when we were retreating across the Philippines and the fleet had been largely destroyed or disabled at Pearl Harbor, you know, the nation was just really hungry for good news, and these guys were heroes, and that's what we needed were heroes.
And there were so many heroic stories during that period of time, and they continue, because there's just something about the DNA of American citizens. I know some people, it just, you know, racks them a bit when we talk about American exceptionalism, but it's these kinds of acts of bravery in the face of incredible odds that leave you in awe and amazement of the makeup of, you know, people who love this country so much that are willing to lay down their lives for liberty.
Absolutely. A lot of great stories from there. The nurses that were left behind in the Philippines, the Angels of Bataan, or the two pilots at Pearl Harbor, Jack Welch and Ken Taylor, George Welch and Ken Taylor, who got their planes in the air and defended Helen Field, or just swore and fired the first shot more than went down the climb. There's just a lot of amazing stories here.
Exactly.
Give up. And yes, those are with pride.
Well, Lance, these are great stories. Where can they go, you know, to be in the flow and know and connect with you?
I'm on the...
You're dropping out here. Try it again. Well, he is the history guy, so you can Google history guy for more information. This is Bill Martinez. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Bacon lovers.